WHCMN repeater in Guilford.
Kilo Fox Friday, Echo Tango Corvette.
This is Kilo Alpha 8, Uniform Hotel Golf, please. This is Kilo Alpha 8, Uniform Hotel Golf.
WHCMN repeater in Guilford.
This is KICB monitoring.
WHCMN repeater in Guilford.
I heard something. KICB here.
Pardon me.
KR4CWB, morning.
K8ICD, monitoring.
AR4CWB, morning.
WHCMN repeater in Guilford.
EB800E.
WHCMN repeater in Guilford.
This is KF8 SQN
I'm going to perform 2 tests on my handheld radio to see how I come in.
This is November 8, Hotel India Sierra Mobile. You sound pretty good in the bowling alley over here.
This is KF8FQN. I'm not on my handheld right now. I am using Echo Link. But thank you for the contact.
Thank you.
And, well, it's good that you can hear me good on here, though. But I didn't get your call sign as well, too.
My call sign is November 8th, Hotel India Sierra.
Roger, QSO, NAHIS, I got your call sign. I'm just confirming if I got it down right.
QSO, I'm on the QRZ website, so you can look me up.
Roger, yeah, well, I'll log you down, and I'll send you a QSO like request or whatever it's called.
Okay, thank you very much, and I'll return the QSO as well. You have a good day. NAHIS.
You as well. It was nice talking to you. I hope I get to talk to you again. And this is KF8FQN, clear.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
This is KFA-FQN listening. This is KFA-FQN.
KF8FQN, this is KF8DTZ. I can hear you. You're staticky, but you're very readable. Working. Like I said, a little staticky, a little popcorny, a little on the quiet side, but you are perfectly readable. You're coming through.
Roger. Yeah, I was wondering if my homemade ground system. I was on Echo and seeing my quality, and it was pretty good, so I'm excited about that.
It is nothing to apologize for. That was a good bit of ingenuity on your part.
So I'm surprised it's working again.
Congratulations on that. I'm glad you figured that out. It is definitely nice to be hearing you actually over the airwaves instead of through EchoLink. That is very impressive.
W1BLU here. I agree.
It is. It is an amazing accomplishment. Congratulations, Wyatt. Over to you, BLU.
I just come from 21 Mile Road, Schoner Road, Utica Road, etc., etc., and didn't hear anything on the radio. And then I hear the last person come in, and I thought, man, it's great to hear something on here. W1BLU, back to you.
Now, there's not a lot of 2-meter activity in this area. I pretty much got a good idea exactly where you're at. I'm down by 16 Mile and Gratiot, and the only 2-meter repeater in this area, with a couple of receivers scattered about, is in Mount Clemens. Everything else is off to the middle of the state or to the west. So, yeah, there's not a whole lot of activity on 2-meter around here. There's a whole lot more over on 70 centimeter. So, yeah, it's nice to hear this this particular light up every now and then. I'm going to pass it over to Wyatt since hopefully he's still out there working with his HT and his homemade antenna set up.
W1BLU here. I've been in the area since January 20. I live off a 15 mile road. What 70 centimeter station gets, or the repeater gets the most traffic, do you think? Well, I'm getting further away from you, I guess. I'm getting more static. I heard less than before. My call sign, if you hear me, is Whiskey 1, Bravo Lima Uniform, W1BLU. And I'm off of Gratiot and 15 Mile, or at least I will be here very soon. I'm headed to my home, QTH. And back to you from W1BLU.
For the 70 centimeter, actually the computers that you might want to try to listen in on. Around here, there are two networks of repeaters you can get into. One is the Central Michigan Emergency Network, which has 70 centimeter repeater in Mount Clemens. All the rest are off to the west, but also locally there is the K8FBI network, which is linked to the Central Michigan Emergency Network, and that has two or three repeaters scattered throughout Macomb County as well. You can look them up on repeaterbook.com to find out how to get into them. Over to you, Wyatt, KFADZ.
Last transmission on a Central Michigan Emergency Network. I looked that up on repeater book, and I appreciate that. Of course, I got my UHF. I have my UHF in the vehicle and my VHF base at the house, so I'm going to have to reverse that, I guess, dependent. But I'll look that up on repeater book and see if I can't program that in. I appreciate it. I do like to hear some chatter on UHF. And, you know, once again, Wyatt, good job. And I'm going to be at my home QTH, so I'm going to say 7-3 to both of you. Thank you for the conversations. W1BLU, clear.
I imagine Wyatt said something about he had to run off and use the restroom, and so he said his 73s. So it's good talking to you, sir. Call sign here, so you can look me up. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Delta Papa Zulu. I'm fairly certain we're neighbors. So anyways, with that, all the good numbers to you. Safe travels. Hope you reach home safely. And have a good rest of your day. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Delta Papa Zulu. Clear out to your final.
Okay, I got Kilo Foxtrot 8, Delta, and then I missed the last.
That would be Papa Zulu.
Yeah, I'm at a stop sign here. I'm punching it in on my notepad. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Delta Papa Zulu. Got it. Thank you again, W1BLU.
Anytime. Be safe out there. KFA TPZ clear.
KETA-CV, mobile and monitoring, East Awas.
Yeah, this is KETA-CV. I heard you were doing 73 to me, so this is 0-box-8, box-8, whatever. I'm going to do 73, so I'm talking to you again, and so you can talk again. And again, this is KETA-CV.
Victor, East Dallas, we're listening.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot 7, number. I hate your call sign, but go ahead.
Yeah, roger that. Kilo Echo 8. Sierra Echo Victor, up here at East Awas on the big Huron. That was monitored in the traffic from the last gentleman that you were talking to. So, yeah, about the same. I guess about 5 or 6 by 9 up here, way up north in the Gas Country. Roger. Tawas, Michigan. Just sitting here looking at Lake Huron.
Roger, I am in Emily City. What repeater are you connected to?
I am on the Guilford repeater on the, I think it's 310, 431, isn't it? I think so. Take that back. 531.
Roger, I'm connected to the W8LEC receiver. That's in the field. And that is 1.6000. And I measured about a 599. All right. But right now I'm using a Falcon AR-162 with a 3-plus base antenna. And I did a makeshift ground with a metal pan. So
copy that.
Yeah, kudos to you. Like the other gentleman told you, they are, yeah, you're readable up here. Well, I'm picking the link repeaters down there. I'm on the Guilford frequency, and yeah, I got a couple of up-bow things. However, I'm mobile on my 2980, pushing about 80 watts down to the thumb, Roger. Copy that. Yeah, I got a Larson NMO mount antenna on the top, mag mount, with this 2980. I could probably turn it down to 5 watts and probably still hit that. Only because there's nothing in front of us, well, nothing in front of me but water. I used to talk to the thumb over across the, I don't know, 35 miles or 38 miles across to the thumb. I could see him with binoculars. And, well, apparently that repeater's down. So, anyway. K8SCV, listening. Most of that, KFA Foxtrot, Quebec. What was that? KFA FQN. KENCV will be clear on mobile and monitoring.
This is KF8FQN. Anybody listening? Or I'm listening, what?
What's up, Wyatt? W8YRC.
Oh, I remember you. We talked before. Nothing much. I was seeing if anybody wanted to talk to me on Simplex to see how far my radio will go. But it's nice hearing you again. How's your day been going?
Well, I just went to the input and I can't hear you on Simplex. Are you on Echolink right now?
Yes, I am. I have my radio right by me, though.
Oh, we can give it a shot, see what happens. No guarantees, but go to 52, 146, 52.
Roger, I'm putting that in right now.
WARC, QSO.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
KFASQN, W8YZ, are you here?
I made it back here. Yeah, your antenna, I don't know what you got set up there, but I have an antenna that's up probably 75 feet and around 50 watts. So it all depends what you got for an antenna and radio and all that stuff. But I did hear you in there. What kind of antenna you got right now?
I'm using a 3-foot tape indoors, and I have a metal pot as my ground plane.
Okay, well, that stands. That's why I'm not hearing you well. But good start. It almost worked. But if it was outside, I might hear you a little bit better, but it's too chilly out there. Only 21 degrees, but... Well, a good try. I don't know what the, you know, the SWR, if it's, you got the SWR down and all that stuff, but, well, one of these days you get a antenna up, if you can, and then we'll hear you. Like I say, the repeater, I've mentioned this before, but the repeater is down right now. The receive site is down, so that's why you can't get into the repeater at all because of the receive site and stuff, but... This spring, we're going to work on it, get it all back up and running. So, anyway, I just got home, so I just heard you in there, want to say hi. W-A-Y-R-C, 73 Wyatt.
Roger, really quick, so it's a W-A-L-A-P repeater that's down still? And if so, how are we still, like, how am I still on here talking to you?
The what repeater?
W-A-L-A-P.
No, the repeater itself is up, but far, far away from you. It's at the north end of the county. And normally I have a receive site here at my house, and for now. And that's why you would go through the receive site, then you would hear the repeater. But right now you're going through Echolink, so that's why you're making it. He's going through the internet to the repeater. But one of these days we'll get the repeater back up here in Lapeer and should be able to get into it okay. 73 W8YRC.
QSL, Roger. So I'm assuming what you're saying is that the repeater's at a different like location than what it normally is. So I'm just going to assume that if you're already gone from the radio, but... This is KFA F2L, nice talking to you, 73, and clear.
Give me it all.
KSA FQN listening. KSA FQN clear.
This is W88MAC Mount Clemens 147.2. We will be disconnecting from the Central Michigan Network for training and a net tonight. We expect to be reconnected sometimes after 8 p.m. If you wish to join our net at 7 p.m., our all-star node is 28277. That is 28277. This is NAWRO. Clear.
this is KFA-FQN listening.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
This is KFA. This is KFA-FQN, sorry for the echo, listening.
This is KD8 SEO, Dean and Carol calling CQ. Standing by and listening. Checking it out. I put a different antenna up, and I wanted to see if I could hit the repeater down there in Lapeer. So thanks for the comeback. 73, God bless, from KD8 SEO.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
W1CLU from KE8WUO.
There's a lot of noise, but it's 100% copy still.
W8CMN, repeater in Gil.
On the microphone there, kiddo, you gotta have more audio than the little bit of noise, or a little bit of audio you have with the quantity of noise that you got.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
Roger, I said, what repeater are you sending to?
I'm getting in to the Guilford Bay City machine, the Guilford site. I'm here in Vassar, but I'm mobile and I've got a pretty high gain antenna, and it's only a 25-watt radio, but are you getting in to Lapeer? Stay with that and angle your antenna so you get the best receive as well, but keep that microphone nice and hot in your face. I can't remember your first name, bud. I've listened to you for days now. I think I might have talked to you once. I couldn't figure out your call, but now I got your call figured out. But I monitor the system quite a bit. Just about 100% noise that time. Call here is KB8OOE. The name is Mike. Mike India Kilo Echo. You stayed hot into it. There's still a lot of noise. You're probably 50-50, I would say, but it's 100% copy. But I'm used to playing on HF, so a lot of times some of them signals are kind of weak, but when you really get into the hobby, you'll be building a lot of antennas, I'm sure, and get yourself some test equipment, and you don't need to spend a lot of money on it. Just get something that it gives you a good, I got a VNA I think I picked up, I think I give $30 for it, but they sure are nice for building antennas. You just about got to buy a mobile antenna, though, because if you're going to use it in a vehicle, because it's hard to make anything with any strength that has gain for these bands.
USO, Roger.
Yeah, I build an awful lot of antennas. It's been a year or two since I built any, because I've been working with the bees, the honeybees, a lot more. But I built some pretty good game antennas for 2 meters that were stacked collinears. They're like a J-pole, sort of, but they've got more half-wave elements stacked on with matching stubs on the way up, and I've got some acrylic rod that I use for that, and they work pretty good, but they're kind of monoband. You know, you can use them for 4 to 40, but there's no gain, but you can make beam gain and still have an omnidirectional, you know, circular pattern, but have a gain of a beam. That way you can get by with a lot less power. The everybody will tell you that's done low power stuff is you put the money in the antenna and it'll pay off in the end, especially when you bump the power up.
Yeah, 100%. I was talking to one guy who actually already did it. He is an amateur extra or general, I believe. And he was talking to a guy who
I've got, I've talked across the ocean with less than one on 10 meters, but I talked all up and down the East Coast with 300 milliwatts, which is a third of a watt, 0.3 watts. And then I turned down to 100 milliwatts. And that was an SDR. I've got a couple of those radios. The Hermes Light, L-I-T-E, Hermes Light with a number 2 on the end of it, Hermes Light 2. And that's that uses a computer, just a little black box. And that uses a computer to see everybody up and down on the spectrum, and then you click on them and dial them in, and you can change your signal. And you can receive wider and narrower, and it does different modes and stuff. And that's a pretty nice little radio. But I've got a couple of the True SDX, T-R-U-S-D-X, and those are 5-6-7-watt radios, and you got to 3D print the case, and that thing is about as big as a deck of playing cards. KB8OOE. Just about none of that. I could tell you were talking. Hey, Mike, are you out there? KB8OOE. Heard you for a second.
This is KF8FQN. Whoever I was just talking to, I switched to my phone on Echolink. How copy over?
I copied all that, buddy.
It was either on my end, most likely, or it could have been you getting away from your repeater or something like that, because, yeah, I lost you at the end. But like what I said, I'm on Echolink now.
Yeah, you sound like you're sitting in the car with us here. Oh, boy, my windshield wiper just screeched across the dry windshield. Yeah, you sound like you're sitting in the back seat with us. And we're just about, we got another couple minutes till we get to the homestead. We're just coming to the main light here. M15 and Vassar. So I live in Columbiaville, but I've been up here with her for a while now, because I had a heart attack this time last year, and then I had another surgery I had to go through here last month, or 2 months ago, I think now, but I'm still healing up. But yeah, you sound like $1 million. It was definitely on your end, because this repeater up here rock and rolls, and I'm not that far from it, and I can get it with a walkie-talkie, but I'm too lazy to turn this down from 25 watts into a super gainer antenna.
Roger. Well, first and foremost, I hope you heal fully, and I hope you feel better, and good luck to you, and I hope you live a nice long life. And, yeah, it probably must have been on my end, because like what I said, I'm using a stainless steel pot as my, I forgot, it was like a ground plane, and, normally I have to position it right, to, like, kind of tune the radio, you could say, and I moved it, so that's probably why. But back over to you.
These sheets and pie tins work too, buddy, I've used them. Now, my name's Mike, my call's KB8OOE, and Diane is sitting next to me, and she's also an extra class, and her call is KD, wait, K-E, KFA-ELF. I always mess up the prefix on her call because they were really churning out some calls there for a while. We're old people now. I know you're way younger. I tried to get my daughter into radio when she was younger, and she had other plans. She had lots of things she wanted to do that didn't have anything to do with martial arts or radio or any of the stuff that I did. But yeah, I know you got that license pretty young.
QSO, yeah, I had my license for about 2 weeks now, and I am 11 years old in sixth grade.
And I wish I'd have had somebody. My grandpa died in 1974, 75, when I was 4 or 5 years old, and that's who was licensed in my family. And I used to sneak in after he died into my grandma's room and turn the HF rig on. And sitting there listening to old guys like I am now talking on the radio, and she'd catch me, and she wouldn't turn it off, but she's mad because that was my grandpa's radio, and she said, "You be careful with that." And it was an old Hallicrafters, I remember. I could still smell it. I could smell his pipe tobacco on it.
That's really funny. My great-grandpa, he passed away 2024, I believe he was 99. He had some old radios. He wasn't licensed, but he had some, he still had some World War II and stuff, and I guess he managed to bring back a handy talkie, and he has that, and my grandpa just found it, along with a old-fashioned police scanner and stuff, but, your grandma sounds exactly like mine, actually, on my dad's side. She always says, "You be careful with that on anything I do." So, we can relate.
If she was still alive, she died 10 years ago. She would be 104, she'd be 105 now.
Really? That's crazy. Think about, my grandpa would be 101 this year. So yeah, crazy thing. Crazy to think about.
He would have been older, I think, by 2 years, so he'd be 106, 107. It was a war vet from World War II, and he took some classes. I think he took classes under the VA bill after he got out, and he ended up being a ham. I've been looking for a call. I think it was WA8FNQ, but I don't know for sure exactly what it was, and I don't know what his transmitter, because he built his transmitter, and I think the radio he had was actually a kit. It was optional as a kit when he bought it. And he blew the front end out of it one time, forgot to switch it over to receive again, because radios were separate transmitters and receivers, and he let all the magic smoke out of it and had to rebuild it once.
I never knew that there were separate receivers and transmitters. But that doesn't sound like a fun thing to happen to you at all.
Well, it had an optional transmit receive switching thing on it, and he paid the price a lot of times for things that he would do, and he used to joke, and I remember him saying it, but I guess it was his thing that everybody would tell me. He'd say, "I'm so cheap, all I put out to my breath, and I suck half of that right back in."
That's hilarious. That sounds exactly like my grandpa. That's funny.
It's about the same age. I think my grandmother was born in 22. too, and I think he was born in 20.
Roger, I think my great-grandpa was born 20s, probably late 20s or early 30s. I forgot, or I think it was like 23 as well.
I'm not teasing you when I tell you that me and my girlfriend are old people. We're in our mid-50s, so we're past halfway to 100 years old our own selves.
50 is not that bad when you think about that. That's like halfway. It's not that old, people. I mean, if you were like 60, it would be different, but still.
I never figured I would live this old. I probably would have taken better care of myself, but I'll tell you, when you get older, don't let anybody tell you them heart attacks don't hurt, because that thing hurt something horrible. I didn't think I was going to make it to the hospital.
Well, hopefully I'm not planning on having a heart attack anytime soon. But I hope you recover fully.
I think I'm just about as good as I'm going to get, bud. I just got a membership to the gym, so I go down there and do cardio. I don't like going out on the walking around on the snowy, icy ground, and I need to start doing some of that because, it helps to build that stuff up. And I was just about an athlete when I was a kid. I'm a little fat, but I'll tell you, I done a lot of hard labor roofing and siding and setting windows and doors and rough framing and mechanic work and all kinds of stuff. A lot of camping and hunting and fishing. And yeah, I slowed down quite a bit on that, but I'll be better off this summer, right? I managed to work the bees pretty good last summer, and that's hard work. It's more hot than anything, but it's a lot of fun. So I got chewed up a little bit a couple times, but for the most part, and she's working them with me. So we got a lot of splits. We went into winter with quite a few, but we're getting a beating on them now. I'm hoping I get some through the winter. KB8 all week.
You know, that was a click. You do, honeybees and stuff?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. We just went to a honeybee meeting tonight in Millington.
Yeah, I love what you're saying about stuff, but it just never clicked in my head that you guys do honeybees. That's awesome. I've been wanting to do honeybees for a while now. It's just all the stuff that we see all the, like, beehives, kits and stuff, that's too expensive for us.
I build most of my own equipment. I buy the frames, but I got a roller now to emboss wax so I can dip the wax on a board and with the wax floating over boiling water or hot water, dip it, then tear the sheets off the dip board and then roll them through it looks like an old wringer washer machine, but it's got the dimples in it for the cells, and you roll it through there, and it embosses it, extrudes it like, and then that makes it more rigid, and then you put it in the frames, and you can use it just for starter strips, but, that way you use your own wax, you know where it's coming from. Plus, I recoat plastic foundation with a foam roller brush, because I don't put wires in my extruded comb, and I want to run it through a centrifuge to get the honey out of it. But on the stuff that just has wax, I cut it out and make honeycomb.
That's awesome. I always thought honeybees and, beekeepers, that whole thing is so fascinating to me.
Super organism, you know. There's a lot of ants that do the same things. Plus, there's ants that raise fungus. The bees make bread. They haul pollen. They make bread, and they make honey. They make wax. They make propolis. from the tree saps and stuff that make like a glue, and it's disinfectant. Like, they can mummify a mouse if it gets in there. They jump on it and coat it in propolis so it can't infect a colony with anything. They'll kill it and coat it with that stuff and mummify it. They're pretty neat. They're definitely been an interesting hobby. There's a lot of things trying to kill them bees, though.
Yeah, I've never heard of that, propolis, how they mummify stuff. Yeah, that's really cool. But yeah, I've heard a lot of fascinating things about bees, but have you guys ever had a wasp problem?
Wasp? Is that what you said? Wasp?
Correct.
Seems every year I get a bald-faced hornet nest up in a tree, and they try to catch the bees and take them away because they're meat eaters, and they feed them to their babies. But I get shots for them. I'm allergic to bees, believe it or not, which is kind of funny. But everybody says, "Are you crazy?" And I say, "Yeah, it helps." But I grab them like the bald-faced hornets. I'll grab them and pinch them. But I make yellow jacket traps because they accost the bees too. They try to eat the larvae and the bees and the honey or whatever they can get a hold of. But I make, with 2-liter bottles, I make traps, kind of like a minnow trap, and I trap thousands of them a summer.
Really? That's awesome. I actually might try that in our pond. We get a ton of minnows for that. But I've heard of minnow traps. I've never heard of making them out of 2-liter bottles. So I'm definitely going to try that out, search it up.
It works. It works, dude. Listen, you can make them out of Juicy Juice bottles, too. And you got to punch a lot of holes in them. It's better if you can make them out of hardware cloth, like that heavy-duty metal screen that has, like, the quarter-inch gaps in it. But, like, you can make one. I went, I was way up north out in the middle of nowhere one time, and I drank all the juice out of this round bottle, and I made the same thing. I poked holes all over in it, and you know, so I could sink it, and then I put, like, a rock in there, and I inverted. I cut the top off where it just gets wide so I could flip it around and push it inside, and I took the lid off, and it makes like a cone, like a funnel that points in. So you put a little bit of that bread in there, and they go in there for that. You just leave it sit in there, and they'll go in there, and they're too stupid to figure out how to get out. And the bees do the same thing, but you just got to make sure that, you know, that you got holes in it, you know, so they, for the minnows, so you can sink the thing. The bees, you don't even have to do that much. And they're too stupid to find their way out. You put a little bit of pop and stuff in the bottom of it, and they'll go in there and drown.
That's crazy. I'm writing older stuff down right now because we get about, I can't even tell how many minnows in our ponds, in our pond in our backyard. And yeah, I can't wait to try that out. I always wanted to catch them for bait. So thank you for that. I'm glad you talked about that. I'm actually really happy right now.
Listen, you can, they're easy. It's easy. Go on, just YouTube it, dude. What it is, it's, like I said, you just cut the top. There's YouTube videos on making minnow trap from clear juice bottle. Just Google search it or put it in on YouTube and or the yellow jacket trap. I use a little bit of that grape pop, and I'll put in a little bit of bread and maybe a little bit of raw meat, like a little bit of piece of sausage or something in there, maybe some dog food and maybe some beer or something or yeast in it, and then that gets those bees. But in the minnow trap, all you need is a little bit of, just bread, white bread or, you know, whatever. And then, you know, once you sink it, you know, the water, it breaks up and it gets out of there, and they come looking for it. But there's other things you can put in there, too. Now, I've had a minnow trap that was commercially built, And I've, you know, used jugs too and caught crayfish that same way, but I used fish guts and put them in there after I caught fish. And they come for the meat.
Roger, crayfish, that's another thing that I want to catch. We get some big crayfish in our pond as well. And I've never ate crawdads before, so that's another thing I want to try out. Haven't gutted a fish yet, but when I do, hopefully this year, I'm going to try that out as well. But yeah, I'm on my computer right now. I'm searching up that minnow trap and the yellow jacket trap on YouTube right now.
What I've done with the crayfish is if you get a commercial minnow trap, they're made out of that hardware cloth. You got to open ends up a little bigger, and then you put the fish guts in there, or you can use cat food. I just pop a couple holes in the can around the top of it and put it in there, and that they'll come looking for that cat food, too. And then get a bunch of them, and they make this stuff called Zatarans, and you boil it up, and they turn red just like a lobster when you cook them. And, well, I can eat a lot of those. The Cajun guys down south call them water bugs.
That's funny. What do they taste like? Do they taste like crab or like lobster? Or are they different?
I tell you what, you Friday or the weekends after 4 or 5, you go to that Chinese food place down there by the old Kmart Plaza in Lapeer, the buffet. They have crayfish and they have frog legs. We used to gig frogs too and catch them frogs and fry them frog legs up. But they got those there, and I think it's after 5. I can't remember, but maybe it's after 4. I usually wait till 5, so it's going real good, and I eat the frog legs, and then they got crayfish, and they got peeled shrimp, and they got shrimp you got to peel. And then they got mussels. They're like a clam, sort of. They got those. They got all sorts of stuff down there in sushi. But if I want to eat crayfish, I go down there. You eat them like shrimp. You take the tails off them and peel them. And they taste good. They're a little bit tougher meat than shrimp.
QSO, yeah. Those are things I've never had. Frog legs I've never had. Crayfish never had. I've had peeled shrimp before, but like the shrimp that you have to peel, I've never had. But we always pass that Chinese buffet when we're going to Lapeer. And maybe, are they like open on Tuesdays? Because that's when I'm going to the amateur radio meeting for the first time in Lapeer.
Yeah, but they save that other stuff for Friday and Saturday. And I don't even know if they've got it on Sunday, but it costs more because they're putting out the good stuff, so they charge more for it, right? So, but it's as much as you can eat. I'll tell you what, that's probably what gave me the heart attack in the first place.
Well, at least I know it's good. Do they put, like, probably, this is a kind of obvious question, but they put, like, seasonings on it and stuff? Or is it, like, got to dip in butter, like crab?
Yeah, there's seasoning on it. Some of it actually is a little bit saltier than I like. I don't have high blood pressure or anything, but I don't eat a lot of salt. And some of that, because I use monosodium glutamate, in some of that stuff, flavor enhancer, it's already got salt in it, so I really don't need to. But, well, you know, once you peel the shell off the outside, because it's a peel and eat. It's not like a non-peel shrimp. But they do have the mussels, too, and they cook those in soy sauce and something else. And then they got some other ones. They put some kind of mayonnaise sauce on them. I don't care for those too much. But I still eat them. I just knock that mayonnaise crap off there and eat them anyways. But, they got salmon and they got other stuff on that buffet, too. That's a nice little buffet down there in Lapeer.
Roger, yeah, I forgot about Muscle Bev. I had those either, but, like, do you like them a lot? Like, would you eat those a lot?
Didn't hear what it was that you were asking. What was that?
I said, like, do you like mussels, like, the flavor of them?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. They're like a clam, the mussels. Yeah, they got the big ones. And then I like the other place over by Linden and Lennon, over by the west side of Flint. They got a lot of everything there. That place is something else. And, they do have strips of clam. And then they got, well, the scallops are fake. They're pollock. I call it the carp of the ocean. It's not a high quality fish, but it looks like a scallop. But they also got some other stuff they don't have at these places too. And squid or octopus they got over there on the west side of Flint at that corner, and that's over by the guitar shop that I like.
Roger. Yeah. That was my bad. You were kind of cutting in and out. You're better now. But it must have been on my end or something. But yeah, I didn't hear you talking about the flavor and stuff. But, squid, really? Have you had that before? And do they sell, like, the squid every day?
I think that's a weekend thing, too. Yeah, this little cheap Chinese rig's getting hot. It's one of those cigarette lighter plug kind. It only does 25 watts, so... It does. When it gets hot, it has issues. And I've had it for about 5-6 years. And I only give like $50 for it.
Roger, that makes sense. I mean, you're coming in perfectly fine right now. Wait, how many watts is it again? 25?
I'm just too lazy to turn it down. I'm in range. I could just about spit hit the repeater. That repeater is really, really far up in the air.
Roger, that makes sense. What kind of radio is it?
I don't even remember the brand. It's kind of Chinese thing. It uses like the UV5R processor, but it has a little bit more output. And it gets hot, it suffers for it.
Alright, is it like a... Sounds like the bow thing, maybe, or is it, like, something different? Because, I mean, the UV9R, I mean, it's a good platform. Cheap, good, so nothing wrong with that, obviously.
It's the same processor, the little postage stamp, $3 postage stamp they use, but it's a Baoji, I think, or something, like a 212 or 612 about VJ 216. I don't know. It's a mobile radio. Tiny.
Really? Yeah, I've never heard that brand. How small is it?
It's in the palm of your hand, I guess.
Really? So if you could, like, send it in your wallet...
I got catcher mitt size hands, but it plugs into the cigarette lighter and it does 25 watts. And it's just a miniature mobile radio, little brick, you know.
Yeah, 100%. If it works, it works. I mean, I could tell. I mean, if you're enjoying the radio, then it's good.
I got an old 50-watt radio at my house that's down in Columbiaville. It used to belong to an old guy that was on here quite a bit, and I miss him an awful lot. His name was Chuck, and his call sign was WAAUCS. I used to talk to him every day for years, driving back and forth to work.
Oh, really? That's a bummer. It's sad seeing somebody get lost from a... ham radio community, that's really sad. Sorry for his loss, but you have his radio? Like, how old is it?
It's old enough that it transmits PL. They had to add a board, I think, to that particular model. But you can't use PL on the receive, and it's not programmable like this. Although it is a digital radio, very, very simple. Chuck had it for years, and I ended up with it through a mutual friend after Chuck died. I was pretty depressed. A lot of guys that were on here, and, you know, you're young enough, you'll probably watch me and several other guys that are on this repeater pass on as you get older if you stay in this area, I'm sure.
Well, gee, that's a pretty sad thing to think about. Do not want to think about that, but, yeah, the radio must be older then. It's digital still, so doesn't that mean it's kind of younger, though? Or did they have digital radios, like, in the 80s or 90s, I'm assuming?
They were very simple. I don't remember if it's got an LED or an LCD display. It might have a red diode display like the old alarm clocks. That was pretty old. Chuck was a neat old guy. There's a lot of, you know, and some of these old guys are still alive that were a little bit younger than those guys. There was a guy named Fred, N-A-A-B-R. Fred Church was his name. He's gone. And then Chuck, and then the one guy had his call on the repeater forever. His name was Jim Boyer, KD8YX, and it's just, there's a lot of them. There's Clancy, and then Nancy Cott. She was a member of the FIST organization. She could send Morse code at lightning speed.
Really? Yeah. Want to learn CW. I was practicing, I don't know if you know, I covered the DTMF tones on the bow things that you can, like, use it to command a repeater. I used number six tone, and I'll send out Morse code over FM on repeaters that allow that. And I've talked to one person, but I was, like, going at 10 words a minute. But it was still a nice conversation with them.
There's also programs to do that, too. When you do it with a normal radio, it's only one tone. So it's instead of two tones on FM, which is a really wide signal, it's very narrow and it takes a lot less power. But you have to receive it that way as well. And it filters out a lot of the noise, and it helps it go further. Hey, listen, we're here. We gotta go inside and let the dogs out. I can't turn the car off because it'll turn the radio off. So we've been sitting in the car running. She's got her mouth tucked in her shirt, and I already turned the heat off and getting ready to go in. The dogs are probably chomping at the bit to get outside.
All right, Roger, I'll let you guys go. It was a pleasure talking to you. You're about one of the nicest people I've met on ham radio, so I really appreciate that. I hope to talk to you again. And this is KF8FQN, clearing your last.
I wouldn't go that far. I used to live wild and free, buddy. I've just slowed down and mellowed with age. Oh, the name here is Mike. And my girlfriend's name is Diane. I didn't catch your name. I know I've heard Mike, the other Mike on here, say he's got a different call from when we were kids. And so's his son Scott. Both got different calls. But I didn't catch your name.
Roger, my name is Wyatt. Spelled Whiskey Yankee Alpha Tango Tango.
Right on, Wyatt. I listen to this repeater quite a bit. I won't always be able to get back to you because I do a lot of studying on YouTube and online trying to figure these bees out because there's a lot of things trying to kill them, and I'm trying to kill those things that are trying to kill them. And I'm also trying to do genetic stuff with queen rearing and using drones to make some things happen and make them varroa mite resistant. And and it's going to take me years and years if I can manage to make a difference, but I think I may order a couple of Randy Oliver bees and help me along the way. So I say 7-3, and I'll probably be tuned in a little bit tomorrow, but I got to get some work done tomorrow, too. This is KB8OOE. Nice talking to you.
This is KF8SQN. I made your call sign. Can you repeat it one last time?
KB. It's an old call. Matter of fact, it was pre-90. It was in the 93, so I had to have the code at that time, and my first license was a novice. So it's KB, Kilo Bravo, and then the 8 call is Ohio Valley area. And then the suffix is Oscar Echo. OOE, KB8OOE, and the name is Mike.
Hey, Roger, Mike, 7-3, and this is KF8FQN, clear.
KB8OOE.
Really quick, this is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot 2 Deck November. I'm sorry if anybody I made a QSO with, I offended them. By the nicest person I've ever met, Comet. Did not mean it that way, but this is KF8FQN, 7-3, everybody, and good night. KF8FQN, clear.
KB8OOE.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.